Pa, I know we settled for cable, but DirecTV has been number one in customer satisfaction over cable for 15 years.
How about over 15 satisfying years with that woman over there?
Boiling your clothes, her layers and layers of layers. Hair that I've rarely seen because it's always under that bonnet. And how she fought off that grizzly and made him into these slippers. That's satisfaction, son.
Don't be a settler. Get a $100 reward card when you switch to DirecTV.
So this is our second week in a series called The Settlers. I love this commercial series that DirecTV did that is emphasizing their product is better than other products, and that if you don't have their product, you're settling for something else. And last week I shared a story with you where I settled for off-brand, I'm going to label everything that's not Blue Bell ice cream, off-brand ice cream because Blue Bell went out of production for a little while. And so this morning I want to share a story with you as we begin this sermon, a time where I had to settle. I really didn't have a choice but to settle. There's some guys in this church, there's many guys in this church that like to fish. By looking at me, you can tell I'm not that guy. I've learned to enjoy it. I've learned to understand that why people like that environment. It's quiet. You get to take in God's creation. You get to enjoy some time being out on the boat or on the side of a lake or a pond or on a dock fishing. And I was asked a couple years ago. I'm not going to name their names, Charles Lucas and Ronnie Phillips, to go fishing. And they invited me to go out, and Charles had invited me before, and I'll be honest with you, I went out as a kid, and I'm bad motion sickness. I got sick, and I ruined the day for some friends, so I'm always hesitant to be like, yeah, I'll go out, because I know some people, like, they look forward to that time that they get out, and so I don't want to ruin it. But that's just a small reason why I don't like going fishing. The big reason is because they get up way too early to go. Way too early. Like, they're like, hey, we're going to go fishing. And I'm like, well, what time do y'all want to go fishing? And they're like, well, what time do you want to go? And I'm like, well, I usually wake up at like 9. So that'd be good for me. And they're like, no, we ain't waiting. That's half the day. We're going to eat lunch by then, you know? And I'm like, all right, well, we're going to compromise. And so we negotiated a time. And they're like, 7's not that early. I'm like, 7's early. But we'll make it work. We'll make it happen. So we went down to Charles Suber's house, which is on Wikiwachi, and we were fishing for mullet, correct? Mullet. And I told him, I'm like, dude, guys, listen, I really have no clue what I'm doing, so you're going to have to walk me through this process. We throw our lines in the water, and we're sitting there, and just nice, having some conversation. Pop! I get one, and I'm pumped, because they hadn't caught one yet. And so I catch me a fish, and this is embarrassing to say, but Ronnie helped me figure out how to take it off the hook, like a good grandfather would. And so he shows me how to take it off there, and I'm doing the whole fishing thing, and like I'm proud because like they ain't catching nothing, and I got one. And so I specifically told them, and this is the first time they're hearing this, I told Charles this morning, I said, I'm going to tell the story the way it really happened. And I told them that day on the way back home, I said, this is going to be a sermon illustration one day. And here we are. And so I told them, I'm like, knowing in my heart, I don't feel like being out there all day long. I'm like, I got to be home at like 2:30. So like, we're going to wrap it up around then and head home. And so it's about 2 and or getting close to 2. And they each have 2 fish, but I got 3. And I'm like, all right, guys, when are we going to go home? You know, like kind of sitting there, getting antsy, looking on my phone, not really paying attention to anything in the water at that point. Because in my heart, I'm saying, I'm going to love this. I'm forever going to have this on them that I'm going to catch more fish than they did that day. 4 o'clock rolled around. And we were still there. I had long taken my line out of the water, because I was good with settling to go home, right? I'm like, listen, y'all can have my fish. I'll say I caught 0, because, we all fishermen make up stories a lot of times. I'm like, listen, I'm willing to, like, say that I didn't catch any to put it, but no, hey, Those two guys were not settling for this little rookie to come out there and beat them. We stayed till there until the moment that they caught more than me, and they were ready to pack up and go home. They weren't willing to settle. They weren't willing to say, hey, and let me have the victory that day. They're like, no way. But I was willing to settle and say, hey, I'm ready to go to the house. I'm ready to get out of here. I'm ready to stop smelling like fish, right? Maybe that's the city coming out of me. I'm ready to stop smelling like fish and, like, go shower and rest and relax and just watch TV, you know? But they weren't about that. And I think that there's times that we have that attitude in our walks with Christ where maybe we surrender defeat sometimes too much. Maybe we surrender and are settled with the fact that, hey, you know what? We don't live in a culture that maybe honors God the way that we wish that they would. Or maybe we don't live in a culture that respects God in the way that we wish that we would. So therefore, we're just going to surrender defeat and be settled into a place so where we're just good with where we are. We're just good with where we're at. And that good ends up being, we're good coming within this building, doing worship, doing ministry to and for one another. But a lot of times that doesn't leak out into our everyday lives to where we are moved by the gospel to a place to where we say, hey, because I've been saved, because of what Christ has done for me, I'm not settling with seeing the world that I live in look the way that it does. Christ has changed me, and because he's changed me, I'm going to go and take the gospel to whoever who needs to hear it. I'm going to go and be a good steward of what God has given me in my salvation. And so today, I want to look at the end of this passage that we started looking at last week, 2 Corinthians 5. If you have your Bibles, turn there. We will be there, our extent of today's time together. Last week, you looked at verses 16 and 17, and we looked at how Paul's perspective was changed because of Christ. He no longer looked at people according to the flesh, but he looked at the heart of man. He no longer cared about Jew or Gentile. He cared about the man was a believer or not a believer. That was what it boiled down to for him, and I think that that's where we have to get back to as the body of Christ, is no longer caring what a man looks like on the outside, or a woman, but caring about the heart of the individual, whether they're a believer or not a believer. And then he said that, hey, that the old is past, the new is come, that he was a new creation because of what Christ had done with him. So he had shared with him the change that he had experienced. And so we get to see the next portion of where Paul goes in this journey, in this letter to the original readers of this book. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21 says this: all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Turn your attention back to verse 18. Let's look at those first five words right there on the screen or in your Bibles. It says, all of this is from God. All of this is from God. And so when I look at this, I look at what he has just finished talking about, right? Verse 16 and 17 that we looked out. He no longer looks at people the way that he once looked at them. He's a new creation, and all of this that he's experienced is from God, right? He experienced it through Christ, but Jesus was a gift from God. And so when he looks at this, when he says this, it makes me think about how so often we experience blessings, but we need to be reminded that those blessings are from God. I think about it often that we walk through life a lot of time and we don't even maybe realize sometimes the way that God's protecting us or the way that God has maybe shielded us from doing something that may have harmed us. We don't often look at the blessings that we receive and rejoice and find joy in the fact that, hey, look at what God has done for me. So Paul is saying right here, he's saying, everything that's happened, all that has happened to me, all of this is from God. And I'm thankful for that. Then he goes on and he says, who through Christ, right, Jesus is the way that God has offered this salvation to man. And he said, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Here's what we're going to do this morning. I know a lot of you are like, hey, I'm about ready to get out of here now. So let me just give you a scope of where we're going. We're going to take some time to develop what reconciliation is and what it means in the process of salvation. And then we're going to talk about what it means to be an ambassador. Because I think that we missed that point as followers of Christ, or we've maybe tailored that point to other passions in our life. But what he says here is he says, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. We need to understand something. I'm not going to assume that everybody in this room is churched. I'm not going to assume that everybody in this room has grown up and understands the scope of Scripture and from Genesis to Revelation. So we need to understand that in Genesis 3, and we touched on this last week, that sin severed man's relationship with God. What was once great, what was once beautiful, what was once where they just spent time with the Lord, that was severed by sin. It was separated. It was divided. Because sin is offensive to God. And so what was separated, that has to be put back together. And so what we see here is that who through Christ, so God reconciled us through Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, through the work of Christ. He reconciled us to himself. I think the best definition that I could come up with for reconciliation in this context is to restore a relationship. To restore a relationship. When I think about restoring, my dad is a, I'll just put it in this terms. He chose to work a few more years so that he could restore some cars, right? Not me. And so he chose because he likes the idea of like taking something old and just kind of maybe bringing it back to life. Maybe putting a new coat of paint. Maybe finishing the interior, or just making it look like the original model of the vehicle. Some of you have passions. Maybe you like to restore furniture, or you like to restore old homes. But that's the mindset of this reconciliation, is restoring a relationship. So to restore a relationship is to make it like it once was, correct? And so if we go back to Genesis, then we see there of what Adam and Eve and how they experienced God in the garden. And the time that we got to spend with him, that they would walk through the garden and just enjoy the fact that his presence was there. And so where sin separated this relationship, Christ is reconciling, restoring us to this relationship, to God, with God, through his son Jesus Christ. I want to make sure that we understand that reconciliation has its role in salvation. I want to make sure that I'm careful in the way that I explain this to make sure that you understand in the right context. Reconciliation in itself is not salvation. I think that oftentimes that we think that we tie the idea of salvation to being what reconciliation is, and that's not necessarily true. Yes, it is through Jesus Christ that God has restored this relationship with himself. But it takes something on our end, admitting, we'll go through the ABCs that we use in VBS, admitting that you're a sinner, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that he did so to rescue from sin, and that he rose from the dead. Some people say confess, I say commit. Commit your life to the Lord and everything that he has for you. And so when we look at this, reconciliation is the act of restoring us to making this opportunity available. Do we understand that? It's our side of saying, I accept this invitation. I accept this gift that you've given us, God, through your son, Jesus Christ. This may not be the best illustration, but this is kind of what I came up with. It's kind of like you getting a paycheck and you taking it to the bank, okay? So the reconciliation part is the fact that you've gotten the paycheck. Now, the difference is most of you do something to earn your paycheck. You didn't do anything to earn this paycheck, all right? We're sinners. We don't deserve this gift that God is giving us and reconciling us to himself. But though you have that paycheck and that paycheck is available to you, you don't really have it till you take it to the bank, right? Like, it's not in your account. It's not spendable until it's there in your bank. And so this is a similar way that I look at reconciliation, is that the gift of reconciliation is there, that God has done everything that he needs to do to restore a relationship with man to himself. The gift is there. It's just us accepting that gift and taking it to the bank being God, and cashing in on the fact that he is willing to die for our sins. He is willing to justify us. He is willing to make us righteous. And so I think that when I look at this, salvation is accomplished when the individual trusts and believes in the life-saving work of Christ, dies to themselves, and accepts the invitation to be restored to a right relationship with God by the blood of Jesus. I remember talking to a buddy of mine. I'm still super close with this guy, and I believe that I've even shared this story before, but it fits this morning in what we're talking about. A friend of mine, he grew up in a home, and you could put their family on the front of a magazine. Like, they would walk into church, and, like, you're just like, holy cow, they, like, are beautiful. Like, they dress well. They look like everything is going great. But behind all of that was just brokenness, like brokenness. It was bad. And mom and dad were always at each other. Dad was abusive in the extent of physical and verbal abuse. And it got to the point to where there was a divorce that took place. And in the divorce, because of the abuse, my friend and his sister were not allowed to make contact with their father until they were 18. And at 18, they were allowed to make contact with their father. He couldn't make contact with them at any time until they made that contact. And so my friend at 18 years old, one of the first phone conversations that he had was with his dad. And a couple years ago, we sat down, we were able to just kind of talk through this whole process, and I said, man, what made you want to have this conversation with your dad? Like, if it was so bad, if you were hurt the way that, you know, you guys have shared that you were hurt, what made you want to reconcile this relationship? What made you want to mend this back together? And he said, man, here's the deal. He's a pastor. He said, how could I preach grace? How could I preach mercy? How could I preach love if I myself aren't willing to show it to others? How can I accept this act of grace, mercy, and love that's been given to me when he sent his son to reconcile us, to make this relationship right again? How can I preach that to other people? How can I preach it to people and say that they can experience it in their life, but I'm not willing to offer it to others? I tell the teenagers this all the time, and I think that we miss this sometimes. We are what? We're followers of Christ. Therefore, we are striving to be more like Christ every day. And then that process, we should be trying to love people the way that Christ loved people. We should be trying to show grace in the way that Christ has showed grace to people. See, we should be representatives of Jesus Christ. Don't let me get ahead of myself. See, there's a process of restoration, and looking at my buddy's testimony to doing this to his father, I look at it and I say, how? But I also look at it and say, why? God. Because if I look at that relationship and say, man, I don't understand why you did that. I got to look at myself in the mirror and say, God, I don't understand why you did it. But he did it, and he did it because he loves us, and he did it because he wanted the relationship that he designed us to have. He wanted to restore that back to what he intentionally, originally designed it for. And Paul continues in this verse, in verse 18, and he says, he calls us to the ministry of reconciliation. He does that twice. We're going to look at it again in verse 19. Verse 19 says this, that is, before we hit verse 19, let me say this. This is basically a picture of verse 18. Paul obviously felt the need to repeat himself, but that's what happens here. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. So what Paul is saying here is he's saying this reconciliation, it only happens through Christ Jesus. There's not other gods. There's not a mountain everybody's making their way up it. Okay, we're not preaching universalism here. It's not a prosperity thing where you ask and you get. No, it is in Christ Jesus that God has restored the relationship with man. It's us accepting that gift of salvation. It's us dying to ourselves and saying, I want to follow. The whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. So is Christ God reconciling the world to himself? I want to hang out here for a second. Not counting their trespasses against them. There's something special about that. Not counting their trespasses against them. So when I looked at my buddy's testimony of reconciling this relationship with his father, and I'm saying, why? And I'm looking at myself saying, why, God? Why me? And then when I read this verse and say, not counting their trespasses against them, there's a phrase that we use that reminds me so much of this. The whole idea of forgive but not forget. Forgive but not forget. I think that what this really means when we say it is, we're going to forgive them, all right? Quotations around that. But the relationship's never going to be the same. We're going to forgive them, but I will never forget what you did to me. That's what we mean, all right? Let's just be real, all right? That's reality of what that means. I'm going to forgive them, but I'm never going to forget what they did. Jesus didn't say that. Paul's clear right here, not counting their trespasses against them. Reality is he's not holding over our head everything that we did that was offensive to him, but rather he has forgiven us because he's restored us in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He didn't just forgive and forget. He justified us. He made it just as if we never sinned. By taking his son and putting him on the cross and allowing him to be the atonement for our sins, the satisfaction, being enough to forgive us and to restore us into this relationship with God. He didn't just settle for forgiving. He took it a step further and forgot our sin. Y'all dead this morning. That should get us excited. That should move us. That's what we talked about last week. The gospel should move us. That should move us. Because listen, the reality is when I look at my relationships, there's times and there's places and there's moments where guess what? I struggle to forgive and forget. That's my flesh that says, don't forget what they did to you. Don't forget how they hurt you. Don't forget how they harmed you. But at the end of the day, if I'm going to be more like Christ, I got to start working on not counting others' trespasses against me. Not holding that over their head. Not holding that against them. But rather be more like Christ and allowing that to move on. Understand that I got a bigger role. I got a bigger responsibility, the ministry of reconciliation. Telling people, calling people, showing people that it is in Christ and in Christ alone. In Christ and in Christ alone that you can be reconciled to this relationship with God. That you can be made right in your relationship with God. The next verse, verse 20, says this. Therefore. You've probably heard this before, but if it says therefore in Scripture, it's there for a reason, okay? It's there for a reason. So therefore, Paul is saying that he's put it there for a purpose, for a reason. So since we have been reconciled through Christ, right? Since we have been reconciled through Christ to God, he has restored this relationship. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. I looked up a definition for ambassador. I was trying to wrap my mind around it. Some of you are like, why did you need to look that up? I did. Don't judge me. An ambassador is a person who is a representative or a promoter of a specific activity. When it says that we are ambassadors of Christ, we are promoters. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ and everything that he is. Everything that he accomplished, every bit of his ministry, every bit of his word, we are ambassadors of that. I love the way the 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says it. It says, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. Keep that up there for a second for me. But just as we have been approved by God, God said, hey, you know what? I'm restoring this. I'm going to make this right. You've been approved. Hey, yes, you as a follower of Christ have been approved by God, and you've been entrusted with the gospel, the thing that you say that changed you, the thing that you says that transformed you, the thing that you said brought life to you, that allowed you to cross over from death to life. You've been entrusted with it to be an ambassador of it. So don't speak to please man, but speak to please God. Speak to tell people that it is in Christ, and in Christ alone, that one can be forgiven of their sins and be transferred from death to life. We are ambassadors of that. It's a call that too often is taken lightly. It's a call that's too often that's overlooked. It's a call that's too often that we avoid. I mean, there are times that we go through all extents to avoid gospel conversations with people because it just don't feel right, because it just wasn't the right time, because I'm working on how to approach them. And for some of y'all, y'all been working for 60 years on how to have a gospel conversation. It's time that the church be the church, and we be the ambassador that God has called us to be of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on. I feel that we've missed this call. We've missed this idea and this picture of us being ambassadors. And let me just be real for a sec. In my life, man, it's sports. I will be an ambassador for my sports team with no regard of what anybody else thinks. But for some of you, we're in that season right now, that political season. All you got to do is go look at an old person's Facebook post. I just offended some of you by calling you old people. I apologize for that. You look at their wall. You look at what they care about most. It's about who they're voting for and who the next big candidate is. Man, if you had that much passion about the gospel, what would the world look like? Some of you care so much about your job that's the highest priority because why? Well, at the end of the day, that's what put foods on the table. Oh, yeah? Well, I trust in the God to put food on my table. I trust that at the end of the day, whether I'm an ambassador for a sports team, a political party, or a job, that God trumps all of those. And that He's called me to be this ambassador. He's called me to be this good steward of the gospel. He's called me to be bold and unashamed of what it is that He's done in my life. And we have missed that, or we retired from it, or we stepped away from it, or we're too spiritually arrogant to do anything, to where we've settled to be pew warmers, pew sitters, bench warmers, whatever you want to call it. Whatever you want to call it. We've settled to be those people. To say we want to be a church that engages in our community and promotes change. Well, change happens with the gospel. Then we need to be a church that leaves this place and is good stewards with the gospel, telling and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We are called to be those ambassadors. That call has been placed on our lives. And this morning, I'm going to tell you something. That the gospel doesn't move you. Look at your salvation. I'm hoping that you see a picture today that we are ambassadors, that we are representatives of something more than ourselves. When you said yes to Jesus, you died to self. No longer about you and about Jesus. Some of our lives sure don't look like that. I'll be the first to tell you that it's a struggle for me. There are times that I want to do what Justin wants to do when Justin wants to do it. Mary Hannah would tell you that that's most of the time. I beg to differ. But it's not about us. Let me. I've got time this morning. They finished early. Let me talk about something for a second that's been on my heart. We care too much about preference sometimes. About music. About what's being played. About how things are done. That we miss the focus of what our first call is, the gospel. Let me tell you, I will tell you my heart. If you came to that mission strip share service, we told you about Christian hip-hop, rap. Lord, the walls would fall down in here if we did that on a Sunday morning. Fro was the rapper in Miami. You know what he did, though? He took the gospel and said, how can I reach people? How can I reach people? I heard a story of a church this week that you know what they did? They took money that was brought in every week, and they paid 2 part-time pastors to plant churches for people that they can't reach One's a Korean pastor, and one's a refugee pastor. Their refugee church runs over 350 people. You know what that is? That's saying that we care more about the gospel than doing something for ourselves. That says that we care more about the kingdom of Christ growing. That says that we care more about being an ambassador of Jesus Christ than we care about the next song that we sing, the next thing that we do, the next fellowship or time we're going to eat. We care about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We care about being an ambassador for that. God making his appeal through us. He could use anything, but he chooses to use us. I'm thankful for that, Lord. I'm thankful for that. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Paul makes the call to this church and he says, hey, if you haven't, be reconciled to God. He's already reconciled this relationship. Choose Jesus. Accept this gift that he's given us. Then he closes in verse 21 with one of the most beautiful word pictures in Scripture. Some people reference to this passage, this verse right here, as the great exchange. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You're looking at the gospel. Jesus, who knew no sin, came to be sin for us. We didn't deserve it. But God decided to restore this relationship that was severed by sin. So that in him, that in Christ, that through him, that we might become the righteousness of God. I love, there's this website called Got Questions. I encourage you, if you struggle spiritually with some reconciling an answer of Scripture, I would encourage you to use this website. It's a great website that you can just type into questions, and sometimes it doesn't have that exact one, but it'll answer questions close to that. And he said this about this verse. He said that when our Savior cried out, "It is finished," the barrier between sinful man and holy God was removed, making all those who trust in him holy in his sight. When Jesus was hanging on the cross and he said it was finished and the veil was torn, church, let's get excited the fact that the wall was torn down and that man can have a relationship with God. Can we say thank you, Jesus? That's a gift that we don't deserve. That's a gift that we're not worthy of. And some of you walk around with your chest poked out thinking that you deserve it. Let me remind you that no man deserves it because all are sinners. It's time that we be the good stewards. It's time that we be the ambassadors that Christ has called us to. We're about to do something that we do every week. We call it invitation. We call it time of response. Can I ask y'all as a church, because teenagers on Wednesday night, they know I'm kind of spontaneous and I will do different stuff. I'm about to freak some of y'all out. It's okay. Pastor's coming back next week. Can this not be the same thing that we do every week? Like, can we do something different? Because y'all know what's about to happen, right? You're going to stand up. I'm going to stand here. We're going to sing a hymn. Somebody's going to come and pray. We love you guys. We'll see you next week. Right? That's the process to the end of the service. Can I tell you what you're looking forward to? To the see you guys next week. That you miss this time so often. That you miss what the Holy Spirit is stirring you to. That you miss what God is trying to call you to in this moment and in this place. Can we not miss that today? Because I believe that in this room, there's somebody that needs to be restored in their relationship with God. There's somebody in this room that has said, "I don't care." There's somebody in this room that said, "I'm content and good with being in sin. I don't need nobody to save me." And that person may be somebody who's here for the first time, or maybe somebody who's been in church for a real long time, who's missed the fact that they're not a believer. Maybe you're in this room and you're saying, hey, ambassador, that's not me. That's not me. Maybe I'm a deacon. Maybe I'm a Sunday school teacher. Maybe I'm a greeter at the door. Maybe I'm just an attender, and I come here and participate. But ambassador, that's not me. Can you commit to that today? You've already been called to it. Just commit to it. Commit yourself to it. Maybe today you're in this room and you're saying, hey, I've had somebody on my heart for years. He's been there, and I've been praying for him, or she has been there, and I've been praying for him. And every time that I get to that spot, every time that I get to that person, I want to have that conversation. I'm ready to have that conversation about how they can have a right relationship with God. But the enemy wins every time. And I walk around it. I tiptoe around it. I avoid it. There's a pretty picture that happens when people get on their face before God. There's a beautiful picture that happens when people get on their face before God and their family, okay, that's us, right? We're a church. Their family comes and begins to pray over them. You don't need to know the name of the individual. You don't need to know the person that they're trying to minister to. But I would encourage, man, let's fill this altar this morning with just people praying for people to be saved. Praying for opportunities. I'm freaking y'all out right now. I can see it. Praying for opportunities for the gospel to be presented. Praying for opportunities to where we can be ambassadors for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's not make this the same thing. Let's not make this the same thing that we are so used to walking through each week. We're callous to an invitation. We're callous to a time of response because we do it all the time. Let the Holy Spirit move this morning in your heart. What's He calling you to? Maybe He's calling you to salvation. Maybe He's calling you to a place to where you're ready to be the ambassador that God's called you to be. Maybe He's calling you just to come down and pray for that person. Let's do something different this morning. Father, we come to You right now. God, and we thank You for who You are. Pray that it's in this place, as we do what we do every week, God, that revival will start. God, we need it. As believers, as followers of Christ, let's not act like we don't need it. God, it'll start here. Let us be a light into this community. Let us be the ambassadors and the stewards of the gospel that You've called us to be. Let us bring forth change by just opening our mouths and speaking clear what it is that You called us to do. So God, this morning, if there's somebody in this room that doesn't know You, God, I pray that they will come to know You, that they will trust in You as their Savior. You've already offered it to them. They just have to accept that gift of salvation. You've restored the relationship. Now, will You move us to a place to believe, to trust, to confess, and commit? Now, will You move us as a church? Absolutely, to be prayers, God, but to be the feet and the hands of Your Son, that we will go out and be the good stewards of the gospel. Do something different this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.